All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we are focusing tonight a little bit on Parshas Bichukos. I have to apologize to some of the women from the witch shir this morning. I had to cancel that Tehillim shir this morning. But Emirat Hashem, we're going to hopefully combine both of the shiurim into one, focus a little bit on Tehillim as well as on the Parsha. And the truth is, what I want to begin with actually is a kapitel in Tehillim. If you take a look in Perek Aleph, I was reciting this particular kapitel this week and it caught my attention. So again, this is chapter 1 in Perek in Tehillim. Ashrei Isha Sharlalach Bitzas Rishaim. Praiseworthy is the individual who did not go ahead and walk, follow the counsel of the wicked, and neither did he stand in the way of the sinners, so on and so forth. And he goes on, but if a person has the right aspirations, a person goes ahead and literally puts his focus. There are sheets right on there. It puts his focus ultimately again on the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, the David HaMelech writes something amazing. He says, person goes in and puts their total faith on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person goes in and does everything that they are supposed to do, so that Ribono Shalom, David HaMelech writes, Chol Asher Ya'aseh Yatzliach. Look at that underlined line in the end of Pasuk Gimel. Whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. And it struck me, this is a very dramatic statement. Whenever you see statements that are absolutes, one always has to wonder, really? David HaMelech is saying that if I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I do what God asks of me, so that's it, everything is going to work out perfectly, everything is going to go according to plan. So in fact, some of the Mefarshim say yes, the Radak says, in number 2, V'chal asher yaseh yatzliach, im osik b'torah nechasav matzlichem lo. If you learn Torah, the Radak says, you're going to have wonderful parnasa. If you learn Torah, your parnasa will be taken care of. The Mitzudas David says, number 3, V'chal asher yaseh, and if you learn Torah, you're going to have perfect children. Hey, Baruch Hashem, this sounds great. I'm so happy I came tonight. So we're getting these incredible guarantees. So if you go ahead and you learn Torah, or you follow the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Radak says you're going to have Parnasa. The Mitzudas David says you're going to have righteous children. And all's going to work out. So if you take a look at number 5, skip to number 5 just a little bit. So again, the opening, remember this week we have the great sechus to read two parshios. The parshios of Bahar and Bichul Kosai. And parshios Bichul Kosai begins with the following psukim. In Bichul Kosai telechu, ve'es misosai tishmoru, ve'asisem osam. If you will go at HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you will walk, if you will follow my statutes, observe my commandments, v'asisim osam, you will perform them, v'nasati gishmechem bi'itam, v'nasna aretz yivula, v'itzasade yitem perio. I will give you your rains in their time, the land will yield its produce, the tree of the field will give forth its fruit. V'hisig lachem dayis shebatzir, u'bosir yosig es zora, v'achaltem lachmechem lasova, v'yishavtem levetach ba'artzichem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your threshing will last until the vintage will last until the sowing, you will eat your food to satiety, and you will live in security in your land. Or in other words, what's the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us? Follow my laws, follow my rules, follow my directives, and what? Everything works out. Everything works out. And again, as really echoing the words, well, the Chash Baruch is not echoing the words of David HaMelech. David HaMelech is echoing the words of the Ribbono Shel Olam, asher yaseh yatzliach. If you go out and you serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of everything. The pasuk seems to say he's going to take care of your gashmis, he's going to take care of your material needs, he's going to take care of your families, he's going to take care of children. Shalom Yisrael, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. Everything is going to be wonderful. Now, besides the obvious question that's brewing in all of our heads in terms of really, I know the world doesn't seem to actually play out that way, which we'll get to in just a moment. But again, there's a much more fundamental question, which is the Torah over here seems to be setting up a model of spiritual service that we seem to normally be very much against. In other words, we do not believe in the idea that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give in order to get. We don't believe in this idea, or I shouldn't say we don't believe. Sometimes we try to stay away from this idea that if you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to get everything you want in return. Serve God and He'll give you everything. And in fact, again, if you look at number 6, the Mishnah Maseches Avos says, Antigonus ish socho kim mishur hatzadik. So Antigonus, we see the following tradition from Shurna Tzadik, and he said, Hu ayomer, al tukavodim hamishamshin esharav amanasa kabal pras. Do not be like servants who worship the master for the sake of receiving reward. Elo, havu kavodim hamishamshin esharav shelo amanasa kabal pras vimora shamayim aleichem. So what does Antigonus say? Do not be like servants who worship the master for reward. What does that mean? Person might love their job. Might love their job very much. But one thing is clear, that if your employer comes to you one day and tells you, listen, you're doing a great job, excellent, we're so happy to have you, only one issue, we can no longer pay you. I would venture to say, no matter how much you love your job, you'd say, I understand, hatzlacha rabba, good luck with everything, I won't be here tomorrow. Meaning that Antigonus says, don't be like that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning we don't serve God in order to get some type of payday. We don't serve God in order to get some type of warning. I don't serve God with the expectation that if I do what He asks of me, then He is going to give me X, Y, and Z. That is an infantile approach to the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, it's even more than that. Not only is it infantile, to be honest, what else is it? It's selfish. It's selfish. Then I'm not really serving Kodesh Baruch Hu for God. I'm not serving Kodesh Baruch Hu for humanity. I'm not serving Kodesh Baruch Hu for the world. I'm serving God for me. So although I'm reaching out to a higher purpose, a higher power, at the end of the day, it's self-serving. I want stuff, and therefore I connect. So Antigonus says, don't be like that. Rather, again, be like the servant who serves the master, because the servant recognizes the power and the meaning in the service. It is the service itself that's meaningful. And even if that service doesn't come with any payday, even if that service does not come with any blessings, even if that service does not come with any articulated reward, to serve the Ribono Shel Olam is, in fact, inherently the greatest privilege we have. So, we obviously have a major problem. Because again, we started out in Tehillim, where David HaMelech seems to also paint this picture of the Chol Asher Yaseh Atzliach. Right, if you go and you serve Kadosh Baruch Hu, anything you do, you're going to have success. You're going to have parnasa, you're going to have great kids, and these are only some of the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim give all kinds of beautiful blessings, all for serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech is not making this up. He seems to be taking his cue from number 5, the beginning of Parshas Bechor Kosai, where the Torah itself seems to say in no uncertain terms, serve God, and you will get all of these blessings. So on one hand, you have God and King David on one side. It's a dream team, right? God and King David on one side. And then on the other side, you have Antigonus. And Antigonus comes along in the mission. Antigonus says, no. Don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reward, but rather, again, serve God even for the purpose of not receiving reward. In other words, what's inherent in Antigonus' words is even more than, don't expect reward. What Antigonus is trying to brace us for is a certain reality, which is what? You can do all of the right things in life, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you want. Or it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you think you're entitled to, or you're going to get what you think you deserve. So therefore, if you have a very utilitarian approach to your service of God, God, I serve you because like a quid pro quo. You know, here's guys, what we're going to do. I'm going to give you tefillin. I'm going to give you tefillin every day. I'm going to wear tefillin every day. And I think tefillin every day is like worth $60,000 in parnasa, right? And then I'm going to throw in a Shabbos, right? I'm also going to not wear shatnez. And, you know, let's make deals over here. Antigonus says, don't do that. Don't do that, because that is not the way the world works. In fact, if you take a look at number 7, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin says, Rabbi Yaakov, Do'amar Schar Mitzvah Bahai Alma Leka. In fact, again, Rabbi Yaakov goes even further. Rabbi Yaakov says that there is no reward for mitzvos in this world. I, Rabbi Yaakov, how can you say that? There are mitzvos in the Torah where the Torah itself explicitly discusses reward. Where the Torah itself explicitly talks about Kabides Avicha Ve'esimecha Laman Yarichun Yamecha. Right? Respect your parents, honor your parents, and you will enjoy longevity. If you listen to my mitzvos, again, we say every day in Kriya Shema, God's going to give us beautiful mitzvos. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, there's no reward in this world. But what do you mean, Rabbi Yaakov? The Torah says that there is reward for mitzvos. So how do we reconcile that? Rabbi Yaakov says, rather again, he says, it's all a reference to the world to come. Whenever the Torah writes, honor your father and mother, or other examples, l'man yarichu yomecha, you should enjoy longevity. That is not longevity in this world. Even, although I want to point out, not everybody agrees with that. You know, there's a beautiful Abar Benel. The Abar Benel writes, he says, honoring your parents is so difficult at times. So difficult. Especially, again, as people become part of a sandwich generation and they're obligated to care for their children and care for their parents. Honoring parents could become especially difficult. The Abba Rabbanah says, so difficult that it could literally take years off your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, I promise you, your life will not be any shorter because you honor your parents. Meaning, whatever you give up to serve them, I promise you that I will give you back in this world. But that's the Abba Rabbanah. Most don't understand, most doesn't like Rabbi Yaakov, that it's not a reward in this world. Rather, again, every single time the Torah speaks about a reward, that is a reward in the world to come. In this world, we say, Schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka. There is no reward for mitzvos in this world. So now, what do we do with all of this? Because again, the beginning of Parashas Bichukosai seems to create a relationship between the performance of mitzvos and material reward in this world. Antigone says, don't be like servants who serve the master for the sake of receiving reward. Reb Yaakov, there is no reward in this world. David HaMelech, yes, there is. There is a reward in this world. V'cholesha, yes, atzliach. How do we reconcile this? Again, and specifically what we're asking on is, how do we understand the opening psukim of Parshas Bichukosai, this week's parasha? Meaning, if there is no reward for mitzvos in this world, and this is a very important idea, because this is a fundamental issue within our emunah. You know, in every relationship, I should say differently, when do relationships begin to fray and fall apart? When? When expectations are not met. If my wife has certain expectations of me, and I don't live up to those expectations, that creates frustration, animosity, and could literally undo an entire relationship. So what do you do when there are unmet expectations? What do you do? So there are two possibilities. Either, again, the person who has the expectations has to readjust their expectations, because sometimes the expectations we have of others are not correct, are impossible for them to meet. And so they're going to be stuck in a cycle of failure. I have to readjust my expectations. Or the other party tries to lift themselves up to meet those expectations. But the klal gadol is, in every single relationship, in order for it to thrive, there has to be an understanding of expectations. You have to understand what I'm going to give, and I have to understand what I'm going to receive, because otherwise you're going to get our relationship wires crossed, and that's not going to be good. So with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing. God, I'm in this. I love you. This is wonderful. But I need to understand what to expect. What can I expect? If I do mitzvos, do I get reward? Don't I get reward? You seem to be telling me in number 5 that I do get reward. King David is telling me that I do get reward. Antigonus is telling me I don't get reward. Rabbi Yaakov is telling me I don't get reward. Just what is it? What is it? Because this is important for the formulation, creation, and solidification of my religious identity. I'm going to serve you with all of my heart, but I need to understand what it is that I should expect. Should I expect beautiful bounty, or should I expect nothing in this world? Whatever it is, I'm okay with it. I just need to understand this. That's what we're going to try to explore today a little bit. Take a look at number 8. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah, writes the following. He writes, he actually makes a very interesting observation. He says that there's a difference between the word pras and schar. Remember again, Antigonus in number 6 said, don't be like servants who worship the master amenas lekabel pras. Pras. So says the Rambam in number 8, he says, Pras yikra gmul, asher yikmal ha'adam mi she'enu chayev lo bedin. Ela, ya'as ezal derech ha'chesed v'atava, kemo shiomer la'avdo, o lebna ha'katon o le'ishto ha'se kach, v'atein lecha dinar shnayim, v'u evdel bein pras u'schar, ki ha'schar chayovim bo bedin. So amazingly enough, says Rambam something very interesting. The word pras essentially means a gift. A gift. Schar refers, schar is also, we often translate schar as how? As reward. But the truth is what it really, it's also used to mean wages. Wages. What's the difference between a gift and wages? It's both money in your pocket. What's the difference? Right? One is owed to you, one is not. Look at number 9. Right, Rabbi Lass, something so beautiful. B'kach romei zatana, ki es yachsus letagmul al asiyas hamitzos kischar, velo kipras besula petachlis. Mutar letzapos the kabal schar. Ach osra l'sharnas v'machshava kilu magia li chayovim li. So he says something amazing. Rabbi Lau says that what Antigonus is saying is the following. So they're changing the definitions a little bit, but he understands it in the following way. Don't be like a servant. When a servant serves the master, so after his work is done, what does he do? He shows up, right? He turns in his time card and he says, pay me. Right, magia li, you owe this to me. Meaning, of course, when the employer pays him the money, he's going to say thank you, because that's just proper midos. But at the end of the day, the employer is not doing a tov, he's not doing like a nice chesed to the employee. You have to pay your employees. They do work, you have to pay. So says Rabbi Lau, what is Antigonus teaching us? Antigonus is saying is the following. Is there schar, is there reward in this world? Of course there's reward in this world. Perhaps there's not full reward in this world. Meaning, there's the famous Mesa that a man once came over to Rav Levi Yitzhak Berditchev, and he said, Rebbe, I have to tell you the Torah is false. Okay, so Rav Levi Yitzhak says, no, why do you say that? He says, very simple. Every single day we say in Shema, V'ayayim Shema Tishma Mitzvosai, that if you listen to my mitzvos, God promises us incredible material bounty. So the man says to the Rebbe, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't keep one mitzvah. Not only that, I violate as many mitzvahs as I can. Right? And yet, I am fabulously wealthy. So you see that the Torah is false. So Rabbi Yitzchok takes his hand and he says, my dear child, the fact that you could ask that question means that you've read Shema at least once in your life. And there is not enough money in this world to reward you for that one mitzvah. Is there reward for mitzvahs in this world? Of course there is. Not full reward, because in this world, we are incapable of receiving full reward for the enormity of our mitzvos. But does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us some bounty, some rewards? Of course he does. Sometimes, not all the time. How the cheshbonos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu work, we don't understand. But here's the idea. Don't go through life waiting for an entitlement. Don't assume that God owes you anything. Antigonus is saying, when a person puts in a full day's work, so what? They're owed that money. Magiali. It's owed to me. So I show up in the employer and say, pay me. Not because you're a nice guy, because you have to, because that's my entitlement. Says Rabbi Lau, what Antigonus is trying to teach us is don't be like people who go through life thinking that God owes you something. The Ribono Shel Olam doesn't owe us anything. So is there schar? Is there reward? Of course there is. But it's a gift, not an entitlement. Everything we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a magnificent gift, but never an entitlement. Now this is exceptionally important, because when you begin to look at life like this, that what you get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gift and not entitlement, so it changes something very dramatic. If you look at number 10, the Gemara says, Ha'omer selazu letztacha b'shol sheyichyo b'ni, u'b'shol she'eske ba, l'chay olam ha'ba, ha'rezu tzadik gomer. So the Gemara is talking about the idea of not doing mitzvos for the sake of receiving something in return. There was a person who shouldn't say, I'm going to keep Shabbos so that God will give me X. So the Gemara says, really, is that true? Yeah, we have an example that a person could say, I'm giving this money to tzedakah on the condition that my child should live. Chas v'shalom, a person has an ill child, a person can pledge tzedakah on the condition that my child should live. And the Gemara calls such a person, tzadik gomer. Calls him an absolutely righteous person. Tosas in number 11 says, but what's going on? How can you do that? How can you give tzedakah with the express articulation or stipulation that this is being given in order that God does something for you? Antigonus says, you can't do that. You can't make deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to do a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah. But you can't say to God, I'm going to do this so that you should do this for me. That's like the servant who serves the master for reward. And Tosas says something amazing. He says, Hainu ba'umos ha'olam shetoen al rishonos. He says that refers to the nations of the world, where if they pray to God and don't get what they want, they will regret the spiritual endeavor. But the power of the Jew is that when I do things, do I ask things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in return? Do I ask things for return? Of course, we do this all the time, right? Most of us are constantly making deals with God, right? I'm going to do this, you give me this, I'm asking you for this, if you do this. But what's the idea? What's the kunz in life? The kunz is that if you don't get what you want, you can't throw the relationship out the window. Because at the end of the day, that which we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gift, not an entitlement. So I can ask for whatever I want, and I can make whatever deals that I want. But for some reason, again, should my desires not come to fruition the way I wanted it, I can't be toha al harishonos. At the end of the day, I can't regret that spiritual initiative. I can't regret that endeavor. I can't regret that spiritual service. That's the job of a Jew. And again, how do I get to that level? If I'm doing something for a particular purpose and the purpose doesn't materialize, how do I avoid being resentful? How do I avoid feeling like, God, you could do anything. Why can't you just give me this one thing? Because if you don't view what you have as entitlements, but you view what you have as a gift, then ultimately, again, there's no magiali attitude. There's no entitlement attitude. When there's no entitlement attitude, so a person is able to continue with their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when God does not give me what it is that I want. Just to show you how this is illustrated, if you take a look at number 12, there's an amazing Gemara, the Maseches Kiddushin. The Gemara is actually the famous story of Dama ben Nesina. The Gemara here in Kiddushin is talking about the obligation or the extent that one must go to honor one's parents. So the Gemara talks about the famous story of Dama ben Nesina. He was a Gentile and he possessed certain magnificent jewels that the rabbis wanted to purchase from him to put in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest. So they show up at Dama ben Asina's home. And again, we're all familiar with the story. What happens? Dama ben Asina's father used to, right, they kept the jewels in the vault, and he used to sleep with the key to the vault under his pillow. Okay. So the rabbis come up to Dama ben Asina, and they say, we'd like to buy the jewels. Can you know, here's the money. Can you hand them over to us? And Dama ben Asina says no. Says no. So they think, the rabbis think, that what is he doing? He's handling, right? They think that he's negotiating. So they keep upping and upping and upping the price. Meanwhile, what happens? What happens? So Dama's father wakes up. He goes in. He gets the jewels. And look at what he says at the end. He says, Ela, einani mevakish mikem. Ela, o samom shefsadeti b'shil kval daba. So we often translate this as Dama is saying, it's okay, I'll take the first price. I wasn't trying to handle with you. You could tell Dama ben Asina was a Gentile. It's clear, right, from this story, right? He goes back on the higher price. So what I said, I was honoring my father. Rechaim Shlomitz makes an amazing observation. He says, look at the wording over here. Dama ben Asina says, I only want the money, shefsadeti b'shvil kvod abba. Shefsadeti means what? That I would have lost by honoring my father. You see, in Dama ben Nesina's worldview, he was not going to wake up his father. Because at the end of the day, he was truly mechabit. He truly honored his father. But had the rabbis walked away and not sealed the deal, Dama ben Nesina would have perceived that he lost as a result of performing this commandment. That was Dama ben Nesina's perception. And herein lies the distinction, says Tosus, between the perception of the Jew and the perception of the non-Jew. The nations of the world may forge and formulate their relationship with God based on a certain sense of entitlement. If I do X, God, then you should give me back Y. The Jew does not live with that sense of entitlement. The Jew says, Ribono shel Olam, I serve you for one reason. Because I love you. Because this relationship enhances my life. Because there's nothing more important, holier, or more sweet than a relationship with the Ribono shel Olam. Would it be nice to get some brachos? Of course, right? None of us are such great tzaddikim that we don't want brachos. Even tzaddikim want brachos. So of course it'd be wonderful to get brachos. But I don't feel entitled to it. I don't feel that you owe me anything. It would be wonderful to get it. But if I don't get it, I'm not going to be any less vested in this relationship. If I don't get it, I'm not going to be any less committed to you. If I don't get it, I'm not going to say I'm not going to be sad or disappointed or a bit frustrated, but it's okay. I'll rebound from that and I'll be just as committed to the relationship. So at the end of the day, according to this first approach, here's the reconciliation. Everyone agrees that is there reward for mitzvos in this world? The answer is yes. Again, A limited amount, because as Rabbi Levi Yitzchak taught us, the full measure of a reward for any particular mitzvah cannot be experienced in this world. But there is definitely some level of reward in this world. So what does Antigonus mean when he says, don't be like a servant who serves the master? What does Rabbi Yaakov say when he says, go through life, don't think there's any reward in this world? What they're saying is, don't live a life of entitlement. Don't live a life where you feel, by the way, this is not just with God. You know how many unhappy people there are in this world because they live with a feeling of entitlement. Magia li. The world owe me. My husband owes me. My wife owes me. My kids owe me. My parents owe me. My friends owe me. God owes me. People walk around. And you know, if you walk around life with a feeling of entitlement, you are always going to be disappointed. Always going to be disappointed. But I'll share with you a secret. This is just bonus material. If you go through life feeling, no one owes me anything, it's liberating. No one owes me anything. If I want something, I have to try to work myself to get it. If I need something, I have to roll up my sleeves and make it happen. No one gives me anything. You know, something beautiful happens if you live life like that. When someone does do something for you, it's the most beautiful matana. It's the most beautiful gift. And the sense of simcha that a person feels is so incredibly overwhelming. So this is our first approach, our first reconciliation. They're all correct. There is reward for mitzvos in this world. It's not the full measure of reward, but it is something. But the goal is not to live life with a feeling of entitlement, not to live life with a feeling of magiali, not to wait by the windowsill, you know, until the big truck of bracha pulls up into my driveway, because look how many wonderful things that I've done. Will it come? In some way, shape, or form, yes. But always look at it as a gift and never as an entitlement. And the reason that's important is because then, if for some reason you don't get that bounty, you don't get that blessing, you don't get that thing you thought you were going to get, you may feel sad, you may feel a little bit frustrated, but you'll be able to rebound and recover because you never approach this relationship with God from the perspective of entitlement to begin with. Take a look at the next approach, number 13. So Rashi, the Ar HaChaim, take a different approach with this. Rashi and Ar HaChaim HaKadosh say something amazing. So Rashi says, "Imbuchuk osay teilechu." So first of all, okay, we don't really have to get too into Rashi, but Rashi understands that "Imbuchuk osay teilechu" means amelos patora, exertion for the word of God, not just simply getting by my religiosity, not just getting by my Yiddishkeit, but rolling up my sleeves and literally investing myself into it. So the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh says the following. He says, "O yomar letzad sheschara olam elyon ruchni ve'en yu'udav nitpasem ben yirsham alo b'dibor lazer." Ramzu Bama, turn the page, shows it vab bitchilas in yon lomar, kiyesh schar achar, umosif olite in gishmechem, vidictic lomar gishmechem, kilishalachem, lobat schar mismas in tovim, el latache ma'amidi olam besekator. Listen to this. So the Ar HaChaim says something amazing. The Ar HaChaim says, is there reward in this world? The answer is no. No. Now, what does that mean? The Torah says that if I walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to give me rain and sheep and children, everything wonderful. Says Ar HaChaim, it's not called reward. It's called the tools to allow yourself to further self-develop. What does this mean? Ar HaChaim says something amazing. And to illustrate this, take a look at number 15. The Gemara says something amazing. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Elazar. B'derech sha'adam rotzei leilech molichin oso. This is a very important yisod in life. Literally translated, the path that a person wants to take in this world, that is the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads me down. What does this mean? What God wants more than anything is to know what my ratzon is. And by the way, this is a very important yisod. If somebody were to stop you on the street, you're walking out of the shir, someone were to stop you, excuse me, just one simple question, what do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? You know, most people can't really answer that question. I could tell you like what I still need to do tonight, right? I could tell you what I need to do in order to be able to get to bed at a reasonable hour. So I could tell you that. I could tell you what I have to accomplish this week. But what do you want out of life? What do you want out of life? You know, I mentioned this in a talk I gave this morning at JCS, that this, you know, Soloveitchik points this out, when Yaakov Avinu is going to find his brothers, right? Remember, excuse me, Yosef. Yaakov dispatched Yosef ultimately to go ahead and go find his brothers, and he goes to God. Come here, come inside. Come inside. And he goes, there are sheets right by Iris. So he goes ahead and He goes ahead and he gets lost. He's not sure where he's going. So what happens? A man finds him. He's clearly lost. And the man asks him, Mativakesh, what do you want? Rav Soloveitchik says so beautifully that often Ish refers to the Malach Gavriel. The Malach Gavriel was telling Yosef, Yosef, there are difficult times ahead of you now. You have to ask yourself one question. What do you want out of life? What do you want? Mativakesh. If you can answer that question and you know what you want out of life, then that will be your guiding light through difficult times ahead. Often we get lost in life because we don't really know what we want. We don't really know what we're working towards. Again, imagine that. Somebody stops you. Simple question. What do you want out of life? And by the way, it's got to be a good answer. It's not like a 27-inch plasma television. You know, it's got to be something significant. It's not season tickets. It's not a long vacation. And it's not even things like, I want to grow in my ruchnius. Yeah, great. Right? Everybody wants to grow in their ruchnius. Meaning, what do you want out of life? If a person were to be taken from this world tomorrow, would you feel that you led a successful life? And if the answer to that is no, then what's missing? Or whatever that thing that's missing, that's the thing you want to accomplish in life. So ultimately, says the Gemara, what the Baal Shem looks for from in us more than anything is, what do we want out of life? What do we want out of life? And that's when the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees what my ratzon is, then it's bederech sha'adam rotze leilech molichin oso. Whatever path you demonstrate that is the path that you want, that is the path that God will help you down. So says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, something amazing. Is there a reward for mitzvos in this world? The Aruch Chaim says, I don't know, I'm not really weighing in on that discussion here, but I'll tell you one thing. The opening psukim of Parshas Bechukos are not talking about rewards. You know what they're talking about? The following. In Bechukos Saite Lechu, Ove Mitzvah Saite Shmoru. The Torah is telling us, if you walk in the ways of the mitzvahs, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if a person devotes their life to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, person says, Ribono Shalom, I want to have a meaningful and uplifting relationship with you. If God sees that that is my sincere desire, do you know what He does? He gives me the tools to actualize that wish. Because what's one of the things in life that often gives us the greatest amount of stress?
Worry.
Wow, no one here struggles with Baruch Hashem. Money. Money. For most people, I'm happy I'm speaking to such a wealthy audience. Baruch Hashem. Right? So again, money. Most people struggle with money. And when you struggle financially, it shadows and eclipses everything. A person who has no money, a person who struggles financially, you know, it's nice to say, yes, I have my health. That is true, but you can't tell that to the bank when your mortgage is due. And again, you can't walk into 7 Mile Market and buy things with your health. And you can't clothe your children with your health. Having your health is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but where there's no money. You know, when Chazal said, "En ein kemach ein Torah," that's not just like a nice saying. Literally, again, money is not just for materialistic people. Even holy people need money, and especially religious holy people need even more money. Because again, it's expensive to be a religious Jew. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says something amazing. The Ribono Shel Olam tells us, if you tell me that you want me, if you tell me that you want me, God, in your life, if you tell me you want the relationship, and it's sincere, and you're willing to roll up your sleeves, I'll give you the material trappings of life. Because I don't want the lack of material goods to hold you up. I don't want the lack of materialism to be ultimately the reason why you can't come close to me. So therefore, I promise you, in bichukos saite lechu, umitzvos saite shmoru, I'll give you all of these blessings, not as reward. I want to be clear. Not as reward. It's not schar, but rather, again, it's the tools to enable me to continue down the path that I want to go on. The Ribono Shel Olam sees what my sincere ratzon is, my sincere desire is, and He wants to help me along that. And the way He helps me along that path is by giving me all of these beautiful material blessings. To take this a step further, I'll show you something really amazing. If you take a look, we're going to read 16 quickly, and then we're going to jump a little bit. So the Gemara over here, Maseches Brachos, is talking about the tragic death of Rabbi Akiva. Remember again, Rabbi Akiva is one of the Asar Rugi Malchus. Rabbi Akiva is one of the 10 martyrs. So we're taking this approach of the Aruch Chaim one step further. Rabbi Akiva is one of the 10 martyrs. So the Gemara discusses again what ultimately happened to him. So the Romans again are literally you know, flaying the flesh off his body with iron combs. And as they're killing him, as they're literally killing him, such a slow and brutal death, number 16, five lines down, Vayusarkim asar masreik oshel barzel, they were literally scraping his skin off with iron combs. Vayamekabel alov omachu shamayim. What is Rabbi Akiva doing in the middle of this horrific, barbaric death? He sings Shema. So Amr, so what happened? Amr lo tamidav, his student said to him, Rabbeinu, adkan. So his student said to him, Rabbi, really? Is this necessary? Is this necessary? You're dying al kiddush Hashem. You're dying ultimately because you're Jew. Is this necessary to say Shema in the midst of this horrific and brutal time? So Rabbi Akiva gives an amazing answer. Amr lahem, kol yomai hayisi mitzta'er apasuk zeh, b'chol nafshecha, afilu hunotas nishmasecha. All my days, says Rabbi Akiva, I always wondered about this pasuk. We read in Shema, you have to love God b'chol nafshecha. How do we translate b'chol nafshecha? Even if God takes your life, you still have to serve Him. Amarti, and I always said to myself, Masa yavo liyadi v'kaimenu. When will I ever have the opportunity to perform this mitzvah? V'achshav sheba liyadi liyola kaimenu. And now that it's here, I shouldn't fulfill it. So we're going to see that in number 19, the Ish Kodesh, Rebbe Piyajetzna, Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira, Hashem Yikom Domo, asks a very simple question. He says, I don't understand. Why is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva has been waiting his whole life to die al Kiddush Hashem? What a strange statement. Kol yomai hayisi mitzta'er. All my days I was wondering, am I ever going to be able to serve God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with giving up my life? Rabbi Akiva, there are so many beautiful ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're alive. Why are you pining to die al Kiddush Hashem? So the Piyajetzna says something amazing, which is going to help us understand these psukim as well. Take a look in number 19 for just a moment. Ava mitchila, kishani ledodi vedodi li. Sha'ayidea teshuka shalano shani ledodi, hu yisparach miskare velenu. So something amazing. So the Piyajetzna points out, and this is in number 17. Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved. Of course, the beloved in this case is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vedodi, the beloved, is mine. What is Shlomo HaMelech saying in Shir HaShirim? What he's saying is that the first step in a relationship with God is the one we take. We take. In other words, I have to engage God. God doesn't engage me. I have to engage. So if I'm Anila Dodi, if I engage the emotional, then what? If I engage, then He will also engage. So go back down to number 19, second line. Lachain. Rakafi erech hayecholo shlano limshoch hiskarvus alakuse yisparach. Kerech zen nimshach lanu. Aval kish. So listen to this. So therefore again, what Shlomo Melech is teaching us, Anila Dodi v'dodi li, that the nature of my relationship with God is totally and wholly dependent on the amount of effort I'm willing to put in. If I'm willing to engage God, then ultimately, again, He will reciprocate and engage me. But watch this. But when I continue to give myself over to God, one time, two times, azaz gam tishukaso yisparach misoreres eleinu, va'az na'ase va'alai tishukaso. Hatashuka shalo, ham shacha shalo ayidea tashuka shalano bilvad, vizeusha kasavalai. So the Piyajetzna makes an amazing observation. The Piyajetzna says that a relationship with God begins with my engaging God. I have to engage God. If I engage Him ever repeatedly, then something amazing happens. His love for me is awakened, and He begins to engage me as well. Not just in a reciprocal fashion, but in a proactive engagement fashion as well. And the Piyajetzna sees this. If you take a look at number 18, so what happens? The next pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ani ledodi, I am to my beloved, va'alai teshukaso. His desire is upon me. So the Piyajetzna says, Valai Teshukaso means that although the obligation to initially engage is upon me, but after I engage Kadosh Baruch Hu a number of times, then God becomes engaged in the relationship to the point that He proactively seeks me out as well. It's no longer just reciprocity. It's no longer I engage Him, He reciprocates. But once I continuously engage Him, Valai Teshukaso, He, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is desirous of engaging me more and more as well. By the way, this is no different than the way many human relationships start. Very often, again, there's one dominant person who is the engager, but then when the engager engages enough, the other party not only reciprocates, but also learns the art of engagement as well. So, Ani ledodi v'dodi li, I need to my beloved, I have to engage Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then he will reciprocate, but after enough time of my proactive engagement, va'alai teshuka so. The Ribbono Shel Olam seeks me out to engage on additional levels. Go to the left-hand paragraph. Watch this. Ve'afsha zewa inyan shom Rabbi Akiva. I'm just going to read one more line, then I'll translate. I don't understand. Your whole life, you're worried about the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's not going to give you an opportunity to die al Kiddush Hashem. There are plenty of ways to live al Kiddush Hashem. There are plenty of beautiful things. What do you mean, Hayisi Mitzta'er? I was always worried, will I be able to give my life for our Kadosh Baruch Hu? Listen to what the Piyajatzna says. He says, Ulaniskal al Efshar. Kevan Shabi Akiva Amar Besof Mishnayas Yuma Ashrechim Yisom Lifnemi Atemitar Mimitar Eschem Avinu Shashamai Shemetila Yisom Ataras Atzmo Vaz Hashem Itar also Upal Kolkach Shashem Yikad Shabi Itar Bibichinas Valaita Shukaso Viniskad Rabbi Akiva Kolkach Yosem Atzmo Achai Mishtokik La Avoda Gdola Mimenu Lemesiras Nefesh. So listen to this Piyajetzna. This is going to blow your mind. But again, I have to give a caveat. This is not for us. It's for Rabbi Akiva. But we're going to extrapolate the lesson for us. See, Rabbi Akiva spent his life engaging the Ribbono Shel Olam. He spent his life engaging. And what did Rabbi Akiva want more than anything? He wanted to be engaged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted the va'alai teshukaso. He wanted to feel the desire, the Kadosh Baruch Hu desires him. Not just that I'm engaging and you reciprocate. It's very nice. Like, think about it in any human relationship, right? Think about it in a marriage. So ultimately, again, it's nice that if I engage so a spouse reciprocates, that's nice. But what's even more beautiful is that when the other spouse takes the initiative and whatever that may be. So Rabbi Akiva spends a whole life engaging and the Kadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates. But there's one piece Rabbi Akiva says that I feel like I've never felt. Va'alai teshukaso. I don't know that I ever felt the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know that I ever felt actively sought out by God. So Rabbi Akiva, in Rabbi Akiva's worldview, what was the highest level of being sought out by God? To die al Kiddush Hashem. And that's why I said, Rabbi Akiva is a different personality. It's just a different kind of entity. That's when Rabbi Akiva is being killed al Kiddush Hashem. There's an element of simcha. Because he sees in these barbaric circumstances what his students don't. His students see a barbaric, horrific death. Rabbi Akiva sees the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for him to rise to the level of Mesiras Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva sees that God is inviting me to give him that which is most important to me, namely, my very life. Va'alai teshukaso. And the Piyajetzna says, this is the nature of this dialectic in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's ani l'dildi, I have to engage, the dildi, God reciprocates. But after enough time of proactive engagement on my part, va'alai teshukaso, after enough of ani l'dildi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks me out. And with this beautiful Piyajetzna, we begin to understand the Pesukim. What does it mean? Im b'chuko saiti aleichu. Im b'chuko saiti aleichu. Let's remember again, we're going back now. We're going back now just for a moment to number 5. So what does it mean? Im b'chuko saiti aleichu. So remember, im b'chuko saiti aleichu means outright. What did Rashi say? You remember? Shetiyu, I read it quickly. Shetiyu amelim batora. Ultimately, it means what? That it is our job to engage. It is our job to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im b'chuko saiti aleichu. If I engage God, which is another way of saying, ani l'dodi. And if I keep doing it, you know, amelos, you know, anyone could be a one-off, you know, spiritual superstar. Right? All of us, right? Yes. Whether it's the NCS Rosh Shabbaton, or whether it's the moving Yamim Noraim, it's easy to have moments of spirituality. Moments of that, but that's not what Judaism is about. Judaism is about not being like a flickering star that has a moment of spirituality. Judaism is about amelos, it's about plugging away. And it's one word, it's consistency. It's about doing the same things over and over and over each and every day. And even if I'm not feeling it so much each and every day, I do it. Because that's amelus. Amelus means you plug away at it no matter what. So if I'm amel, that's imbichu gosai teilechu. If I walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means I'm constantly and consistently, proactively engaging. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to us? V'nasati, remember what's the rest of the pasuk? Number 5. V'nasati gishmechem bi'itam v'nasna aretz yivula. So what is this? Is this schar? Is this schar? Is this reward? No. It's not just evenly in the simple tools of the Arachayim. Instead, what this is, what these material blessings represent, is the Dodi Li. It's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am desirous of having a relationship with you. Those brachos represent the alai teshukaso. Those brachos are the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, thank you for engaging me consistently and continuously. Thank you for and just so you know that I want you as badly as you want me, I'm going to give you these blessings. They're not the rewards for your mitzvos. They're not the schar for your mitzvos. Rather, again, what are they? It's the Dodi Li. It's the V'alai Teshukaso. It's the divine reciprocity. It's the divine desire that says, it's not just that you want me, I want you as well. What's the proof? The proof is, if you look at the, right, after you go through all of the material blessings, take a look at number 20 on your sheet. Remember again, at the end of the day, after God goes through all the material blessings, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem, v'lo sigal nafshi eschem, v'yisalachti b'sochachem, v'ayisi lachem le'lokim, v'atem tihiyu li la'am. At the end of the day, what is this all about? It's all about relationship. The brachos, the material blessings that God highlights in the beginning of the parasha, are not reward. It's the Dodi Li Va'alai Teshukaso. It's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us that it's not only us who wants Him, but it's Him who wants us as well. Which yields just an overwhelming idea, which is, all of us have brachos in life. All of us have brachos in life. And the truth is, again, maybe there are additional things that we all want. Or maybe there are things that we all feel that are lacking. That might be true. But at the end of the day, we all have incredible brachos. Now remember again what we learned before. How do you view your brachos in this world? How do you view them? As a gift, not an entitlement. So what does that mean if I have brachos in this world? If it's not an entitlement, and it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do those brachos mean for me? If I have my health, if I have food in the cabinet, food in the refrigerator, if I have a few dollars in my pocket, you know, we'd all like more dollars in our pocket, right? If I have enough gas to get home, if I hopefully have a family that loves me, those are all brachos. Those are not entitlements. No one owes me those things. God doesn't owe me those things. Those are gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if at the end of the day I have those gifts, why? If it's not an entitlement, if it's not because of something that I did, then why do I have it? And what's the answer? What's the answer? It teaches us the Piyajetzna. The answer is because those brachos are the ways that God communicates to us, thank you for reaching out to me. I desire to reach out to you as well. Those brachos are the way that God communicates to us, I love you. Thank you for engaging. Thank you for imbichu kosai telechu. Thank you for rolling up your sleeves and trying to cultivate a meaningful religious identity. I'm giving you these brachos because I want you to see that I'm not just simply reciprocating your overtures, but I'm investing in this relationship as well. Not because you earned it, not because you're owed it, but because this is the way I choose to display my engagement in this relationship as well. And so it turns out, if we bring this all together, that Parshas Bichul Kosai teaches us some of the most incredible and overwhelming life lessons. So first of all, is there a reward for mitzvos in this world? I'm not sure. The answer is yes, there is. There's a reward for mitzvos in this world. But we've learned that the full measure of reward in mitzvos is not to be felt in this world. So in David HaMelech says, V'chol asher yaseh yatzliach, David says, yes, things will somehow work out for you okay in this world if you do what God wants. But more importantly, things will work out better for you in the world to come. When Rabbi Yaakov says, Chai mitzvah b'hai amalekah, there's no reward in this world, he doesn't mean no reward, he just means not full reward. And Antigonus, when Antigonus tells us ultimately again, do not be like servants who worship the master except for receiving my Baran Tzignus. What about the opening of Parshas Bichul Kosai that tells me that if I serve God, I get all of these blessings? How do I reconcile that? So we have a number of different approaches, just to bring this all together. Number one, don't go through life with a feeling of entitlement. Live life in a most liberated fashion, which is, go through life feeling, no one owes me anything. And if you go through life with that mantra, no one owes me anything, then everything you get, be it from your spouse, from your sibling, from your friend, and from the Ribono Shel Olam, is the most magnificent gift. Furthermore, if you go through life without a feeling of entitlement, if you don't get, quote-unquote, what it is that you wanted, it's not a overwhelming experience from which you can't recover. If you go through life with a feeling of entitlement and you don't get what you want, very often it's hard to rebound. But if you go through life with a feeling nothing is entitled, I'm not entitled to anything, everything is a beautiful gift from the Ribono Shel Olam, then at the end of the day, if I don't get what I want, I wish I got it, but I didn't, but it's okay, I still have the koach to rebound. The Derech Chaim HaKadosh teaches us that when we decide what we want in life, mativakesh, a Jew has to decide, what do I want out of life? Not what do I have to accomplish today, not what do I have to do this week, but what do I want out of life? When I decide what that is, we have an ironclad guarantee. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me down that road. And says the Arach Haim HaKadosh, those are the brachas ultimately, again, in Parashas Bichul Kosai. Not reward, but rather the tools, the material tools that enable me to continue to cultivate a meaningful, uplifting, and holy spiritual identity. And finally, from the beautiful and sacred words of the Piyajetzna, we learn the incredible yisod that perhaps what Parashas Bichul Kosai is describing is the beautiful, synergistic, and mutually fulfilling relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Bichul Kosai Tilehu, if we engage God consistently and continuously, if we live lives of ani ledodi, recognizing God's not coming out to find us, which is not totally true, He comes out to find us also, but it's not a good approach in life. If we go to find God, not wait for Him to come to us, but we go to engage Him, im b'chol kosai telech ani ledodi, then v'nasati gishmeichem b'itam. If I'm consistent in my proactive engagement of God, if I'm going out to find Him constantly, each and every day, time after time after time, then something amazing will happen, which is, He won't only reciprocate my overtures, but He will invest in this relationship as well. And the brachos we have in life, whether it's the rain, whether it's the sheep, whether it's the cattle, whether it's your kids, whether it's food in your pantry or a few dollars in your pocket, all of those gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zvei HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates to us, thank you for investing in the relationship. Thank you for making me a priority in your life. But I want you to understand, it's not just you who wants me. I want you just as much. And the brachos we have in life, the blessings we have in life, are the greatest manifestation of Va'alai Teshukah. So, to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desirous of us, and what greater simcha is there in this world than to know that not only am I putting into this relationship, but to live with the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me and wants a relationship with me as well. All right, let's stop over here for tonight. There is no class next week. And Mirat Hashem will resume after Shavuos.